Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
I don't think he's right for the presidency.
I think it was Meet the Press this weekend that he said that. He said, because he's, maybe it wasn't an interview, but I'm not sure because I watched so many different shows. But he started talking about all the gay people he knows and that they're friends of his, and that doesn't mean that he has to endorse their lifestyle or acknowledge their lifestyle or participate or even sanction. But it's okay to be their friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike, well, you can be my friend, too.
Mike can be our friend. I have misgivings about his philosophy as a matter of something that can be legislated, though. I don't think he would make a very good president. I think that in this country, one of the things that's made it successful is that not only do we have freedom of religion, we also have freedom from it. And that's a good thing.
We do.
We're one of the few countries in the world that is able to pull that off as well as we do.
Well, I think Western Europe, most of the Western European countries,
mm-hmm.
have probably pulled it off better than we have.
In some respects, in some respects not. Might depend on the religion.
In which country, but overall, you know, you look at France and Germany and some of these countries, over the last 30 years, I think they're less religious than we are.
Yeah, they're a little more secularized in some respects.
But nevertheless, Mike Huckabee in the White House, you know, what is that like? That's like the Muslims wanting to run their country with Sharia law. Are we going to run this country with Christian law?
And I think that if he were elected, there would be enough outpouring of dissent that it would have to temper him.
Well, he wouldn't be elected.
Yeah.
I think it's enough time with Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about Mitt Romney, because I wrote this on my Facebook wall when it was first announced, and this is before Bill Maher's show aired on Friday. And what I wrote was, the first thing that struck me that Mitt Romney withdrew from the campaign, because it was a day after the Koch brothers announced that they're going to be putting in nearly $1 billion of their own money into the presidential campaign. And they don't want Mitt Romney to run.
Well, he can't win. They know that. They've already tried that.
Right. So they're like, all right, Mitt, you're back. You're back. You're ahead in all the polls. All the polls for the first four primary states, and then other states, Mitt Romney's at the top. So he could probably win the nomination, but they know he's going to lose, so they're like, you got to get out. And all of a sudden, the Koch brothers are posturing, and they're throwing nearly $1 billion of family money into a presidential campaign. And that's about as much money as Barack Obama raised. It's not quite as much money as the Republicans raised. It's as much money as the Republicans' goal to raise this coming election mm-hmm. cycle. And this isn't to replace the Republican money. So if you one family in this country can match the entire party, a major party's fundraising efforts, do they own that party?
I would say so. That's a problem that's happening all over the country, high and low, federal, state, and local level, yeah.
Right.
They do own the party.
And it was their money that put most of these senators into the Senate. So they just bought the Senate. They want to buy the White House.
Elected office is for sale, people. This has to change.
And
one of the ways it can change is to overturn Citizens United. And we've had some really great efforts here in Florida to showcase that.
How's it going to happen if the Koch brothers have all their elected officials? You have to get the House and the Senate to vote, like with two-thirds majority, and then it's got to go to all the states where two-thirds of the states have to ratify a constitutional amendment.
The first thing that will probably have to happen is that the people of the United States of America will have to endure a little more suffering en masse. More people will have to feel it directly in order to make a change.
If it's not too late.
I don't know. I don't know where our democracy has gone, but the Koch brothers have not contributed to propping it up. I think if I were a candidate for office, what I would do is I would challenge the other candidates in my pool to not accept all that money.
Well, then you just challenge them all to lose with you.
There you go.
That's what's happening. And I should look at the studio here.
We'll take a caller. Who's calling in today?
Go ahead, caller. It's your gavel.
Good morning, Mitchell. Good morning, guest host. Good morning. Are you aware that the Koch brothers are libertarians?
Excuse me. It's Terry Wonder.
Terry Wonder, are you familiar that the Koch brothers are libertarians?
Yes. Doesn't it?
I was talking to Terry Wonder.
Now, you talk to both of us when you call.
I know, but I ask her a question. Let her answer,
no.
Puppet Master.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, you were associating the Koch brothers with Republicans.
Well, that's where they're...
And they're libertarians, Ms. Wonder. Did you know that?
They've associated themselves with that party.
How about Tom Steyer?
Say what about him?
What, who's he associated with?
Say what about him? What does it matter if they're like...
Yes, Hillary. What matter does it make?
How much money is Tom Steyer putting in?
Billions.
Billions? No.
Yes. Yes. And so what is the difference, Mitch? You have a libertarian group that you associate with the Republicans, and Tom Steyer, who is in the back pocket of the tree huggers, and a Democrat.
They control, what is it, that?
Okay, so why don't you mention both sides? Why are you so biased?
Well, any of those people have ever actually hugged a tree before.
Why are you so biased?
Why are you so biased?
You know, a sign of being put in a corner is laughter.
I'm proud of it.
That's what I thought.
Oh, my God. Lawrence, you need to get your own show.
You need to get more disassociated yourself with the guy that you're standing next to. Ask him what happened to the last one that he supported.
Oh, my God. Lawrence.
Ask him.
Barack Obama. I supported Barack Obama. He got reelected.
Tuesday night.
You got reelected.
Tuesday night.
I did. I supported.
Tuesday night.
It was Sunday night.
There you go. Laugh it away.
Vote for Sunday on Tuesday.
Loser, loser.
Really, Lawrence? Where are you?
Are you finished, Lawrence?
No, I would like to discuss why you have such a bias to one side and refuse to mention both sides.
I think we are.
I was talking to Ms. Wonder.
All right.
Well, you know, we have an hour broadcast, and you can only discuss so many things in an hour, Lawrence.
Your bias is obvious, and I call it to your attention, and you're telling me, stay tuned and listen, you'll cover the other side?
Decision.
Okay, I have a question for you, Miss Wonder, and then I'll hang up.
Wait, Lawrence.
I have a question, and then I'll hang up.
What?
Mitch, you can answer for her if you want.
Side, have you ever done that, Lawrence? Have you ever called Rush Limbaugh and said that?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
You said that. I don't believe you, Lawrence.
I'm finding this very hard to believe.
Okay, I have one question, and then you can answer. I'll hang up, please.
Is this you in the plural or you in the singular?
Go ahead, Lawrence, ask.
All right, thank you. Has the state of Israel ever been in a worse relationship with the United States than it is now?
We will be talking about that.
No, I was asking Ms. Wonder a question, and you're telling me when you're going to answer it.
It's on the schedule for later, so we're going to get...
Well, Ms. Wonder, answer the question before Mitch puts words in your mouth.
Thank you for the call, Lawrence. Thank you for the call.
Oh, my God.
And if you'd like to call the show, the number is 347-989-0132. That's 347-989-0132. If you try the normal 1490 line, I think you'll find it's busy. So please call it. And we'll repeat that in a minute. But I do want to talk about the Koch brothers because they're not very benevolent to the American people.
No, they're not. Nor to the earth itself.
They're libertarians because their philosophy is The libertarian philosophy is government should be as minimal as possible so we can do what we want. And what that allows, especially in the framework of the Koch brothers' model, is corporations should be as deregulated as possible so they can just dominate this country.
And it was systematic deregulation that's been happening in this country over like a 30-year period that has gotten us into the mess that we're in, that pushed us into the Great Recession. And has contributed to the income inequality that we are still experiencing now with our declining middle class.
and global warming.
All of those things.
You know, it's a threat. And if you listen to the right wing, their big debate is well, we acknowledge there's some global warming going on, but is it man-made or is it just the way the Earth is going to be? The real question here should be, even if you want to believe that man had no input at all in global warming, the next question should be, since you've acknowledged global warming, is what can man do to curb global warming? Because global warming is accelerating at a very rapid rate, and there's a lot of things that can be done. But that's not today's show, except that we could dive into that. We'll dive into that maybe on Thursday, because I could spend the rest of the show just listing all the things, and all I can say is go plant a tree, because that will help.
That's what I do.
You do?
Yeah. Every time I see a tree somewhere else go down in another part of my neighborhood, I make a point of, planting something new in my yard. And now my yard is just this nice, almost completely, it's almost a complete woodlot, except for some sunny patches. It's very nice, keeps the house cool. And I've just created this little mini ecosystem in the tree canopy in my yard. It's a very, very pleasant place to live.
It is. I've been to your house. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I do want to get back to the Koch brothers.
Yeah.
They basically have decided and basically said behind closed doors to Mitt Romney, you're not running because we will use our money against you. And then the Koch brothers had a posture. They had to come out and announce nearly $1 billion. And then they have Stephen King from Iowa, a congressman, has his own gathering of the Republican lineup to say, hey, come to my congressional district and present yourself, basically to the Koch brothers, because he's one of the congressmen in the pocket of the Koch brothers. And they want to own the presidency. They want to own the Senate. They want to own the House of Representatives. And you know what that means? It might mean before they die that they'll increase their wealth by tens of billions of dollars a year, because that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That may be what they're... But what's it going to do to my grandkids? What's this Earth going to look like? There's ecosystems now that are on the fringe of collapse, and we can do a lot to curb global warming. Instead, we're debating...
There is a direct correlation between the buying of politicians and the destruction of the environment. I mean, even here in Manatee County, we have a clay slurry pit in Northeast County. It's called it's associated with the Wingate phosphate mining, which is owned by Mosaic, which is headquartered in Polk County. And this clay slurry pit is full of acid. And when we had a revolution of local county commissioners that started about 8 years ago with Citizens United at work at the county level, with the local big corporations buying local commissioners into office, the permit for this mine finally was ratified by our local commissioners. And this clay slurry pit is full of acid, and it's on the headwaters of the Myakka River. And all of the scientists who study these things know what would happen if there were an overflow of this clay slurry pit. It would overflow, and it would annihilate every living thing in the Myakka watershed.
In the watershed?
Yeah.
That's a big area.
It's a massive area. It covers many, many counties, not just Manatee. I mean, it covers a large territory.
The Myakka watershed.
Yeah. And, that's what we're up against when it comes to...
This weekend I went riding my bike through the Myakka Forest.
It's beautiful out there, isn't it?
It is.
And, tourists go there. It's part of our local economy. And it's stunning, too, because... For those of us who study corporations like Mosaic Fertilizer that's capable of buying local people into office, what you find out is that phosphate mining in Florida accounts for only 0.5% of Florida's domestic product. 0.5%. It's a meaningless economy. Yes. A meaningless economy.
But it's changing the landscape.
Yes.
In eastern Manatee County and all the counties, the whole inter...
They just go down and they chip the state. And the other, the excuse that is given by these corporations, and this would go for the Koch brothers too and all these interests in other parts of our country, they say jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, in the case of phosphate mining in Florida, the number of people that this kind of work employs is less per acre, fewer persons employed per acre than you would find in one of our national forests in this country. It's meaningless.
Well, how many people do they employ, do you know?
It's less than 5 people per acre. It's a meaningless economy. So, it doesn't contribute.
It's a big cash economy.
To jobs.
A lot of it goes overseas.
Yeah, most of it from Florida goes overseas.
Most of it goes overseas, so you can say we're not using it to feed the United States, but we're using it to help feed the world. And I guess we're balancing our trade because from all the foreign oil and all the Chinese products that we mm-hmm. bring in, so it's not good. We need to. I want to get back to this because the Koch brothers, who are libertarians, who are basically, they are the libertarian, they are the money behind the Republican Party. And, you know, and Republicans, whatever you ask them, they say, well, we need to cut taxes and deregulate. That will make things better. Well, that led to the economic collapse of 2008, because the Bush administration, and just to summarize, without going listing all the things they did, the Bush years was a huge wish list of Republican wish lists for 30 years were implemented.
Mm-hmm.
All these things were put in place. Many of these things have not been repealed. They're in place. So when the Republicans then turn around and they literally blame the Obama administration for the impact of their policies that are still in effect, because Obama couldn't repeal these things. He had about 400 bills passed the House of Representatives in the first 2 years of his administration and then get filibustered by the Senate. And I hear Republicans go, well, why didn't he do all this stuff then? You know, you hear the State of the Union speech, and the Republicans now run around, well, why didn't he do it in the first 2 years? Well, this is the same things he was talking about in his campaign. And in the first 2 years, and many things passed the House and were filibustered by the Senate. The Democrats never truly controlled the Senate. If you can filibuster, you don't control. And we got the Keystone Pipeline, which got passed because some Democrats went ahead and voted for it. Many of the Democrats tried to filibuster it. They were unable to do so because a few Democratic senators. So, you know, the Koch brothers, they can buy them off too.
Money talks.
Money talks. And now they're going to put this pipeline over, talk about a watershed. This is more than a watershed. This is the United States' largest aquifer, right? I believe it has more water underground than the Great Lakes have. Now, if you put that pipeline there, and I'm sitting there over in Iceland, which is, you know, Syria and Iraq, and now they're starting to infiltrate the Sinai Desert.
Well, they're in Libya, too. They're everywhere.
Right.
Actually, there are 30 terrorist movements around the world that have pledged themselves to ISIS. ISIS controls Tripoli now.
Okay, but to get to my point, because we can just keep diving in these tangents and have it. We could be here all day.
Sorry.
No, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to point out, if you build the Keystone Pipeline over this aquifer, why don't you just paint a big target to terrorists? blow up the pipeline. Let it get completed. Let it start pumping at a rapid rate. And then go blow it up. It's remote. Most of it's remote. You know, it's not like it's going through New York City where everyone's looking at it. You just find a spot in the middle of the aquifer where maybe the ground penetration in that aquifer is thin. And then you put some explosives there. You don't even need a suicide bomber. You don't need to hijack a plane. You just go and blow it up. And now you ruin the aquifer for the United States. But the Koch brothers and all the people who are going to make tens of billions of dollars in profit, which are talking about 40-some thousand jobs for maybe a few years until it's completed, and then was it under 100 to maintain the pipeline? You know,
it's not a sustainable economy.
Why don't they build it around the aquifer? You know, I keep hearing about this aquifer. Why don't they build it over in eastern Nebraska or even in Iowa, away from the aquifer? I don't get it. I just don't understand it. This is the way we planned it. This is the way we want it. We don't want any changes, no discussion. We have to have this. Canada doesn't want it running to the east coast of their country. They don't want it running to the west coast of their country. They want to use us like we're... And did one Republican suggest that, hey, if we're going to pass the Keystone Pipeline, maybe part of the proposal would be that the federal government receive a $10 or $15 or $20 tax on every barrel of oil that flows through it? You know, we, the American people, there's no benefit to any of us. Now, if there's a tax put on it, and you could earmark that tax for the general fund. You can earmark it for alternative energy. You can earmark it to reduce the debt. You can earmark it for all kinds of things. But why don't we tax it? When other countries, when we pump oil out of other countries, those countries have their hand out. Saudi Arabia doesn't let foreign oil companies go in there and just pump the oil and take it out for $3 a barrel and just suck all the living.
Are you saying we're being treated like and we're allowing ourselves to be treated like a third world country?
By the Canadians. And BP treated us the same way, right?
It's what corporations do. It's what they do.
Right. Even in Alaska, the average Alaskan citizen receives some benefit from the oil coming out of Alaskan oil. It's just preposterous, the Keystone Pipeline. It's not going to create a massive amount of jobs, you know, 40,000 jobs. They act like it's going to save the economy. You know, for the last year we've been doing, what, over 200,000 jobs
yeah.
a month?
I just hope that part of our country doesn't turn into some massive Superfund site in the future because of this.
It can't be cleaned up.
I know.
If there's a major oil spill in the aquifer, it cannot be cleaned up.
Because it seeps down into the ground, deep into the ground, deep in the water, and you can't control where the water goes in the aquifer.
And no matter how safe you build it, you can blow it up. You can blow it up. So what are we thinking going over the aquifer? There's such little regard. And why don't we take a commercial break, and I want to talk about measles when we get back.
Oh, okay.
And
Jenny McCarthy.
And Jenny McCarthy? Yeah, oh yeah.
The pretty smokes anti-vaccine spokesperson.
Yes, and now I'm just trying to get to the button here.
Yeah, measles in Disney World.
I am having trouble. Oh, here we go.
Speaking of measles, there's an article about this in this week's...
Hello
economy.
From Legal Shield. We're proud to offer Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium, a top-of-the-line identity theft protection and restoration plan. Identity theft affects millions of Americans each year. That's why Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium provides you with the information and expertise to protect your identity and resolve issues related to identity theft. Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium offers powerful proactive monitoring of your credit information, so you'll rest assured that your identity is always being protected. Stay covered with benefits like Triple Bureau Credit Monitoring, with constant monitoring of your Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax credit files on a secure website, as well as email alerts about any activity on your credit file. WebWatcher, with daily monitoring for unauthorized use of your Social Security number, credit and debit card numbers, and other personal information across the internet. And Public Persona, with monthly monitoring of any changes involving your Social Security number or address history associated with your identity. In addition, you'll always have secure web access to your credit report and a detailed analysis of your personal credit score. The plan also offers several premium benefits on request, like lost wallet assistance, to help you cancel and replace cards and IDs, place temporary fraud alerts, and more in the event your wallet or purse is ever lost or stolen. Social Security Number Skip Trace, a search that detects potential fraud by searching your Social Security number in over 34 billion current public records, and even a sex offender search to see if your address has been used by a registered sex offender. In the unfortunate event that you are ever the victim of identity theft, we've partnered with Kroll Advisory Solutions, an industry leader in security and risk mitigation, to provide a comprehensive restoration of your identity to what it was before the breach occurred. Dedicated licensed investigators at Kroll Advisory will perform comprehensive restoration services such as sending fraud alerts to all three national credit repositories, correcting identity theft issues with affected banks, credit card companies, law enforcement agencies, and other institutions, and working for as long as it takes to restore your identity. Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium also allows you to contact Kroll Advisors as often as you like to speak about anything related to identity theft, ensuring you'll always have an identity theft expert on your side. Legal Shield Identity Theft Premium covers you and your spouse, but the Special Safeguard for Minors service will protect all of your dependents under the age of 18 for just $1 more per month. Safeguard for Minors includes valuable information on credit education for minors, advice on the best uses of a child's Social Security number, and monitoring and alerts for the existence of any credit files in your child's name. And your dependents will be eligible for identical consultation and restoration services from Kroll Advisory Solutions. You can purchase this coverage for only $24.95 a month. Coverage includes you and your spouse, with Special Safeguard for Minors protection for up to 8 dependents under the age of 18 for an additional $1 more per month. And if you add legal protection for your family, you can get Identity Theft Premium Plan for just $19.95 per month. Do the math and choose to give your family access to these legal and identity services today for a total of only $36.95 a month. Only with Legal Shield. Worry less, live more.
And I'm Mitch Mallett. I am not only the host of the show, but I am an independent associate with Legal Shield. And I want to just tell you, you know, you heard this a little bit about our Identity Theft Shield, and it's $19.95 with a membership. Now, think about it. If you already have an identity theft plan, most of them, all they cover is they monitor your credit reports. And they charge $10, $12, $15 per person. Well, if you're a married couple, now you're upwards of between $20 and $30 for that coverage. And if you have kids, your kids aren't even covered. With Legal Shield's identity theft plan, which includes restoration and everything else you just heard, that covers you and your children and your spouse. And our membership here in Florida is as little as $17 a month. And we'll fight your tickets. We'll give you emergency access to a lawyer. We'll write your will, living will, medical directives. We'll defend you in lawsuits, IRS audits. And then you can call the law firm, get unlimited consultation on an unlimited number of issues. They'll write letters. They'll make phone calls. They'll review documents. Is your family worth it? Go to malletagency.com, MalletAgency.com. And I want to give a shout-out to arrowservices.com. They are Florida's pest control and lawn control. At Arrow, it begins and it ends with results. And Arrow offers residential pest control, commercial pest control for termites, roaches, bed bugs, ants, rodents, as well as many other pests. I wonder if they cover some of our callers.
Callers? I don't know.
I don't know.
We should find out.
Yeah, I wonder if they're in St. Pete. Oh, they are in St. Pete. They're all over Florida. ARRA also offers lawn services, include tree and shrub care, irrigation, and TLC, Total Landscape Care Solution. So give ARRA a call. You can go to arrowservices.com. Right now, if you go there, they have some coupons up, and their phone number is 941-803-4021. Tell them Mitch and Terry sent you from the radio. And, Terry, we're back. And I do want to talk about, there's a measles outbreak. And when I was a kid, my younger brother was 4 years younger than me. I was born in 1956. He was born in 1960. He was a little over a year old. I had the measles. My brother had the measles. My father had the measles. My poor mother.
Oh, my goodness.
She had to care for all of us. And fortunately for her, she had the measles when she was a kid, so she wasn't going to get it again. Now, you hear some of the... Now, I have... This is some of my earliest memories, is thinking back upon when we had this measles. But, you know, I hear some...
It's a lethal disease.
I hear some of these politicians talking, Republicans, or maybe, what do they call themselves, libertarians, talking about, oh... Measles. Everyone used to get the measles. What's the big deal? Well, I went and looked it up. We were losing between, in any particular given year, go back into the 50s and 40s, between 1 and 2,000 children a year would die. So what's the big deal? The Super Bowl showed a commercial of kids getting killed by household accidents. By the way, I want to thank Nationwide for that ad. I mean, it ain't home for me, but I think it was worthwhile. If it saved somebody's life, if it saved some children's lives, I think it was worthwhile. But the impact of just thinking about that one child not growing up, and now you hear these Republicans go, well, it's a matter of freedom. It's a matter of freedom of choice. But there's
it's a huge cost, though, on others with our medical system, our insurance system, everybody... Everybody pays for that somehow when we deny the importance of vaccines. And, you know, if you believe that you are your brother's keeper and there is something from medical science that prevents a disease like the measles, you know, don't you owe it to your fellow man to get the vaccine and to have your children vaccinated?
Absolutely, and I know in Rhode Island, when my daughter entered kindergarten in Rhode Island, she had to have the measles vaccine and the mumps and a whole bunch
MMR.
Of others.
MMR.
My son, we moved down here on a Saturday before the Monday when he started kindergarten, and he showed up. Oh, and we got here, my mother... who, you know, when my parents both passed away, my son's almost 24 now. So this is like 18 and a half years ago. My parents go, did he get the measles vaccine? Did he get vaccinated? So Sunday, there was a health clinic. We had to take my son to get his vaccinations. My daughter already had him. We had that. And before he could start kindergarten. And I think it's a good thing. You know, the only reason you shouldn't get vaccinated is if you're fighting cancer or you got some ailment that you can't handle the vaccine. And really what the vaccine does is it exposes your body to a minute level of the disease, and then your body learns how to fight it off. And we've almost eradicated measles from this country. Actually, we did. And this outbreak has come from Disneyland in California.
Yeah.
But it came from somewhere else in the world. That's because we didn't vaccinate the world. And now you have Republican politicians running around. Ron Paul, who's a doctor, saying, I think it causes autism. And I think and kids are getting mental diseases from the vaccinations. And he's a doctor. Now, all this has been debunked. This is all folklore. It's urban legend. The doctor who started this, who did like a survey of like 13 people and came up with a conclusion in England, he lost his physician's license because he's stuck with it. This is, it's called a herd mentality. If you can get 92% plus of the
herd immunity.
Right. Vaccinated. Do you want to describe that, Terry?
Yeah. Well, in 2013, the herd immunity was 92%. That was our measles vaccination rate, and that is what is needed to prevent people from acquiring measles. So even if there is a percentage of the population that doesn't get the vaccinations, there enough of the population, 92%, has acquired the vaccinations, and so that is what immunizes the so-called herd. And
we are a herd.
And what has happened is that there are differences across states. For example, 82% in Colorado have been vaccinated and 100% in Mississippi. But then you get some certain enclaves, such as some of these areas, and they tend to be very, very wealthy, educated people, like Ron Paul, for example, who choose not to vaccinate their children. And that's why we saw this outbreak that started at Disney World or Disneyland that has now spread to seven states. And
because every one of those kids who got the measles there, had they been vaccinated,
right?
And had every one of them vaccinated, which is what we used to do, and you know, the parents of small kids today.
Well, people want to protect their children.
They
want to do what's right. And it's easy to be persuaded by mass media, mass marketing that.
Things on the internet.
Yeah.
The mass media is not doing it so much. It's just like this folklore. And the people who are having kids today are in their 20s and 30s. And they grew up in a world basically free of measles. So they're like, well, no one gets measles.
Yeah,
why do we?
Threat? What's the threat? But, you know, I mean, it, you know, at minimum, you know, it disfigures your skin. You know, do you want your kid growing up with a disfigured complexion? Do you want your child to die at maximum? It could kill your kid. And it is interesting. There's this this doctor. His name is Paul Offit, and he's with the Children's Hospital at Philadelphia. And he discusses how parents worry about vaccinations. And he notes that most of these parents have never seen the 14 diseases for which the government recommends vaccination, including mumps, measles, and rubella. And he says that in the end, people don't get vaccinated because they don't fear these diseases because they never knew them. And it is an interesting phenomenon, because we have been so protected over the decades. In the United States, in 1962, there were 600,000 measles cases, and by 2014, that had dropped to zero, but then we've seen a spike. And so in measles cases in the past year, it's really stunning. We went almost down to zero, and now we're seeing spikes.
There was 100 cases, and when I was very little, 100 cases in the United States would have been celebrated.
Right.
Would have been celebrated. There's probably 100 cases in my county. But we want to go back there because kids were dying back then. And the productivity taken away, because if your kids have measles, who's going to take care of them? Are you going to be able to go to work or not go to work? The amount of productivity, the expense, the cost, and then you got Ron Paul, who wants to be president of the United States. This is one reason. You know, I've looked at him going, you know, some of the things makes sense. He wants the government out of, you know, the control of marijuana and this and that. And then I hear him speaking.
He's got some good ideas about convicted felons, too, for low-level nonviolent offenses.
Right. But then I hear him talk about, and he's a physician. You know, some of these Republican Congress people, the Tea Party people that have been elected, are not very well educated.
Well, there's a
Ron Paul is a physician.
Well, he comes from a strain of political thought in America that goes far back, and I know because I have relatives who share his political philosophy, and part of this political philosophy has always been anti-vaccine. My father, for example, who was he was a World War II veteran, so he's of that greatest generation. He shared this philosophy, and I can remember back in the 1970s.
Did you get vaccinated?
My father telling my mother, actually sending her literature. One of the pieces of literature that he used to send her was a pamphlet called The Poisoned Needle, and it was about vaccines. And, you know, he was a John Bircher. He was very much a libertarian.
Bircher?
Very, very much a libertarian. And he...
So he followed the Koch brothers' dad. Was one of the founders of the.
Yeah, he. That's exactly right. He very much was a part of that tradition personally, and every time he would send my childhood pediatrician a bill, a payment for a bill, he would include a pamphlet in the envelope, like the poison needle. And
Dr. Gall, here's that again.
And they
did you get vaccinated?
Yeah. My mother had us vaccinated. They were divorced, so you know we were living in a different city, and my father didn't really have much control over what happened directly at the pediatrician's office. Thank goodness, and thank goodness I had a very sensible mother who understood the importance of vaccinations. So, but it is
interesting. I vaccinated my kids, and my ex asked, you know, I heard some things, do we really want to get our kids vaccinated? And she brought it up to the doctor, and the doctor put that to bed pretty easily. And I'm saying, vaccinate them, and it's important, you know.
Right.
Now they're in their 20s, and if they're exposed to measles, because now there's an outbreak, maybe not right around here. But who knows, you know, who's going to get off a plane as a carrier and suddenly it spreads. And then I look at the politicians. So many of these Republican politicians, they're so in line. Their thinking is, I gotta maintain my base. I can't piss off the base. And the base must be against vaccinations. You know, what we need is, we need leaders who are going to stand up and say, I know there's these myths and rumors about vaccinations, but it's the right thing to do for our country. That's what we need from leadership. And you know, this can go all back to the Koch brothers, because the Koch brothers, they like the fact that they can get a percentage of the population, I don't think it's 15 or 20% or even less, that are activists. Especially in Iowa, where it's a caucus. You don't go and show up one day during the primary and vote. You actually have to go and you have to fill out a thing. You have to say you're going to be at a caucus. You have to register for the caucus. You have to show up to the caucus. So they can get their core people there and really sway things and sway these people and then hold the politicians accountable to this small core group. This is all a political manipulation. And it's being played up, and they're risking lives, you know. And now you hear this debate going on. You can go back to 08, and you can point to one conversation Obama had, and Obama said, "Well, the science isn't quite in yet," but there was no outbreak of measles at the time when he said it, and now it's really clear. And even back in 08, it was really clear. But right now there's an outbreak of measles, and you've got Republican presidential hopefuls saying, well, it's a matter of freedom. Are you going to be free? Are you going to stand up and be free? And sometimes in our society, and thank God the schools will say, at least in this state, and in many states.
Yeah.
Your kid can't go to school unless they're vaccinated.
Yeah. There are 19 states in the country that allow people to opt out without a doctor's approval or religious justification. But Florida isn't one of those, fortunately.
Yeah, I wonder how long that's going to last with this.
We might see some deregulation in this respect in Florida, given the changes at the state level politically. Interesting to see if that happens.
Well, I wonder how long it'll be before some state rep will put a motion forward to repeal that, and hopefully it won't carry. But I bet you in the next 2 months you'll see some kind of legislation allowing people freedom. Because there's a bunch of Tea Party people in the State House, and these Tea Party people go, "Oh, look, here's one of our things we can ride on." And
yeah, but I'll tell you, Mitch, I got to say, I mean, there are pockets of really, really ultra liberal types that are very overprotective and have somehow been persuaded by this too.
There are.
That's what we get with the wealthy and the educated in California that, you know, found themselves in trouble at Disneyland. So
Well, they're scared. There's a rise of autism right now, and it's not linked to vaccinations, but we need to find out what it's linked to. It's like witch trials. We don't know what's causing it, so we'll blame the witches.
Yeah. Conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Are very intriguing. Now, just because there's a correlation in something, statistically speaking, does not mean that correlation is causation, and a lot of people confuse the two things. Statistically speaking, correlation and causation are not the same. And one of the other heroes with the measles vaccines was someone named Thomas Peebles. And back in 1954, he jabbed a needle into the arm of a sick student in 1954, and he said, "Young man, you are standing on the frontiers of science." And he used blood collected at the boys' school and was able to isolate the measles virus. And then another person named John Enders, another one of our heroes in modern science, crafted the vaccine in 1963. And it was in 63 we had seen a drop. There were 400,000 cases of measles in America in 1963. And, of course, by 2013, the average number of annual cases had dropped to below 100. It's not an epidemic. What we're seeing now is not an epidemic, but we do know that there are pockets of places in the country where we have seen greater than normal outbreaks of the disease. And fortunately, we have a surveillance system in this country through the CDC that is capable of tracking these kinds of outbreaks and then mounting public relations and information operations campaigns to prevent the further spread of the disease and to educate people on the importance of immunization. We need in our population a minimum of 92% of the population to be vaccinated in order to have what we call herd immunity. The state of Mississippi has a 100% vaccination rate, 82%, as I said before, in Colorado. And all 50 states have required vaccines for students, but 19 out of the 50 allow people to opt out without a doctor's approval or with religious justification. California is one of those states, and that's where we saw this outbreak. And so you have schools where vaccination rates are lower than needed for herd immunity. And so for the past 12 years in California, the number of parents seeking a waiver on philosophical grounds saw a decline in 2014. And that's when this law went into effect requiring them to have a healthcare professional first. So we hope that things will change in California, given that we have a new law in effect. Again, there are studies that show that skeptics cluster in certain state parts of California where vaccination is now not the norm and is below that rate needed of 92% for herd immunity. And oddly enough, these are wealthy, educated areas where the vaccinations are far below normal for what is needed for herd immunity.
Really, what's protecting their kids from not getting these diseases is that a vast majority of other kids did get vaccinated.
But now, in most cases, that's not even the case because no one is getting vaccinated. There are far too few people in some of these counties in California.
And if it gets in there, all these people that are not vaccinated are going to get the measles. And what's worse, and the president came out and said, go get your kids vaccinated now. And some of the governors are coming out saying, get your kids vaccinated. And now there's a pushback. And now it's becoming a political issue. You know, in the 50s and 60s, when these vaccinations were coming out, I can remember as a real little kid lining up at the local high school, which I later graduated from, going through their cafeteria, and they put a sugar cube in my mouth. It was a vaccination for polio. And I waited hours, and I couldn't wait to get the piece of sugar because my parents, oh, it's going to be so sweet, da-da-da-da. But the whole town lined up. The whole town lined up, and the whole country lined up. We got a cure, not a cure for polio, but a prevention. And within a year, almost the whole country was vaccinated, and the amount of new polio cases got reduced almost to nothing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And now these rumors are flying around, and it's a political football. It's really like how dumb do these Republicans think we are? You know, they look at, oh, global warming doesn't exist. You know, and you earlier talking about jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about, all right, we're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to do what we can about global warming. First of all, it would mean let's massively build solar collectors and windmills.
That could create a lot of jobs.
That can create a lot of jobs.
Gotta maintain those things.
What if they came out with a program that they do neighborhoods or communities? We're going to go do a site survey of your community. We're going to come to your house. Now, your house may not qualify. If I was, and I used to be in the solar business, I'd look at your house, and I'd go, Terry, if you want a solar collector on your house, you'd have to make a decision.
I don't know. I don't think Florida Power and Light would like that.
Would to cut some of the trees down because you don't have enough exposure. So you may choose, no, I'm going to keep my shade. Well, you don't get a solar. But my opinion, I think this country should get real serious. Now that gas and oil prices are down, this is a great time to go, let's get aggressive and let's continue to reduce demand to keep the prices down, to let the world economy pick up because too high a percentage of our economy was going to energy. And that's one reason we fell into this worldwide recession that's taken place. Now, if you go into communities and go, we're going to come and put solar hot water and solar voltaic because it's cheaper to heat your water by having the sun heat it directly, not by converting it to electricity and then run it as resistance. So you put both systems on your house. And the government, I think, should just give grants. And now you as a homeowner, if you got a family of four, you're going to save upwards of a couple thousand dollars a year in take-home income because your electric bill is going to get reduced tremendously.
I don't think Florida Power and Light would like that, Mitch.
Well, we need to do a major shift, you know, a major shift in where we're thinking. You know, in the Super Bowl, you saw a little BMW, that all-electric BMW and the Tesla, and Ford's got their Volt. You know, you can go home, plug your car into your solar house, and ride on the sun.
I don't think the Koch brothers would like that, Mitch.
This is what we need to do. And it would create so many jobs, though. Look at how many jobs it would create. Why don't we put desalinization plants along our coast? Massive desalinization plants. And, oh, the big, well, they take a lot of energy. Well, let's put alternative energy plants adjacent to the desalinization plants, and let's build pipelines across the country. Let's put a water grid in across the United States. So if there's an area that's getting a drought, well, instead of getting $40 billion a year worth of farm subsidies because you didn't get enough rain, that's what we give out a year. But to the farmer, you get to turn on the faucet near the pipe that's running near your property. If you don't get enough rain, you got the pipeline. And we desalinate pipe water. We can take water from the Great Lakes, but we have to be careful there, too, not to drain the lakes. And but desalinization would be perfect because the water levels are rising. Well, let's suck the water out. They're doing it, and the Arab countries are doing desalinization because there's no alternative to water. We could be doing it, and while the sea levels are rising, we can have our straws in there. We could be pumping it across the country. We can irrigate the southwest deserts, like what Israel did to the to their mountainous. Mm-hmm. They planted all these pine trees to our mountains, these mm-hmm. desert mountains.
They forested a large part of their country.
We can forest the southwest. And, you know, you look at a tree and you go, look at the mass of that tree. Go look at a big tree. And go, you know, it started as a little seed. Where did all that mass come from? It's a combination of water and carbon. Where did the carbon come from? It came from the air. It pulled the carbon out of the air and turned it into the mass of the tree. And there's some minerals coming out of the ground, too. But it sucks the carbon out of the air. It puts higher oxygen levels. And it will actually shade the earth, help cool the earth, help shade the earth, and help balance out. We can reverse the impact we're having. Because the Republicans, they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, it's just nature. Well, we're affecting nature, and we're accelerating global warming. Yeah, 20,000 years ago, that's not that long ago in the history of the planet, we had an ice age. And the ice age just keeps melting, and it's retracting really faster. It's going to have a huge impact. The Earth's going to continue spinning around the planet. We're going to go around the sun. It's just a matter, are we going to be alive on the planet when it's spinning around the sun? It's not going to destroy the Earth. It's just going to change it. It may make us uninhabitable. I'm saying we could do something.
If we don't make changes within our generation, I believe that we will have just reached a complete point of no return.
Well, that's scary, especially, you know, we're like middle-aged people here, so...
Mm-hmm.
Our generation's half over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to do something now, and it will create jobs. Instead of people sitting home collecting extended unemployment and food stamps and all kinds of subsidies for living,
yeah,
you know, give them jobs and let them create an infrastructure.
Yeah. But, you know, it's troubling to me because I'm very familiar with the demographics of the environmental movement of our two counties, for example. And here in Manatee and Sarasota counties, the movement consists of retirees. I'm one of the youngest ones in the movement. And they look to me for, you know, for support, and, you know, they see in me the future. And you know, I'm 48 years old, and I'm one of the younger ones. And I have a lot of empathy for our youth because in this area, because one of the things that happens in our area is that our best and our brightest leave. They go to other places. And maybe I hope that they are championing these causes in the other places where they go.
Well, they get replaced with retired people.
Yes. And then the rest are, you know, this is a working class town, so the rest are working, and they have very hard
people.
Lives.
They're dedicated to hard, but
mm-hmm.
there needs to be like 10 times the amount to have a political impact.
Yeah, and they share our views. I know they do because I've met so many of them in the past year. I've canvassed in their neighborhoods, but they're working, and they're not able to contribute to the movement and to actively contribute politically to make change.
When I was in college and even high school, we were protesting in high school. And that was the early 70s. And we should start dancing, huh? In the early 70s, and in college we were protesting. And in 79, after Three Mile Island, I went down to Washington to the big anti-nuclear demonstration down in Washington. And my parents were going, don't go, don't go. Every demonstration I go to. In high school, there were demonstrations in New York. And don't go, don't go. And now that my kids are in their late teens and now they're in their mid-20s and, you know, hey, Becky, Noah, come on. Look, let's go join me with this demonstration. I don't want to go to a demonstration. It's stupid. You know, I can't get my kids to go. But when I was their age, my parents were begging me not to go. What's wrong here?
Well, it's like Shakespeare. There's just an inversion of roles that has taken place. I don't know what we have to do to motivate them. In our area, you know, we have a college nearby, New College, and the kids, the young people that go to New College are, you know, they're very savvy, but they're not vested into this area locally. They come from other places, and so they're not really getting into the mix of things with local politics and environmental issues.
Yeah, when I was at university, it was an island. It was a society unto itself, removed from the surrounding communities.
Yeah.
And it's still like that.
Most of our campuses here are commuter campuses, and the age of the students has increased, and the average age of a college student now in the United States is 29. And many of them have families, and they work and they go to school, and they don't have much time for demonstrations anymore.
And you make school expensive, so they're busy trying to earn some money to help
laboring
pay for it. There was, you know, when I was an undergraduate, and I had a job. I worked my way through college.
Yeah, so did I.
And I didn't take out any student loans. Of course, tuition was about $700 and change a semester for the tuition. That's not counting room and board and other expenses. But it was doable back then. And, you know, factored in for inflation, what would that be, $2,000 a semester now?
I had a little time left over to go to a demonstration.
Oh, yeah, we were always demonstrating. It was just a thing to do. And we were looking back on the 60s thinking that was the real era of demonstrations. We were, you know, keep the kids indebted and busy and overburdened with the thought of how they're going to pay for all this and their careers. And then that they're not going to think about the big picture, and then when they get out, they're already paying on a mortgage, and if you got a couple of college sweethearts, they're both graduating with their own mortgages, can they afford another mortgage to get a house?
Well, and then they're saddled with that. I mean, the ability to be able to move somewhere, to find work is.
We're creating like indentured servitude for these kids that are going to be paying for a good part of their lives, paying off their college.
We should do a show on student loans and the changes in the student loan system in this country. It's that would be a very enlightening show.
Right, and the Republicans like 6%, right? Some of the Democrats, like Elizabeth Warren, wanted to, let's just link the student loan rate to what the banks pay. Whatever the banks pay, that's what college kids could pay. Cause
well, the privatization of the system is meaningful, too, because under a privatized system, your ability to defer the loan in a situation where you're not able to find a job or you're not able to find a job that pays very well, you end up in a condition of bankruptcy very fast. And that's been one of the changes in the student loan system.
But you can't discharge your student loan.
Yeah.
You can't discharge it.
It's a huge problem.
And then when you're not making payments on it, the interest is accumulating rapidly.
And it also means that people who would like to get an education
added.
Think twice about getting an education because they know they can't afford the education that they need
right.
in order to improve their lives.
And then you get the private colleges, these for-profit colleges that will sucker you in and say, come on, oh, you're admitted, you're accepted, fill out these forms, we'll have the loans for you. They don't really care if you go to, after you're in, and they have your student loan money, they don't care if you go to class or not. There's no concern there. Their graduation rates are pitiful. And then the respectability of that diploma is not the same as the University of Florida or some of the private not-for-profit schools that exist.
Well, we're seeing a two-tiered system of education in that respect. There's been huge changes in higher education. We should explore that in some future shows.
And you can look at Neil Bush and see how much money Neil Bush is making on this transformation of education, because he's making hundreds of millions of dollars, and that's the other Bush brother, the one that will probably never run for president.
No, Neil wouldn't be able to run.
No. Why is that?
He's got too many skeletons in his closet. Plus, he's doing well by just being a businessman.
He's the one creating the family wealth, isn't he?
Yes, yes. Somebody's got to do it.
Someone's got to be there to... You be the politician, you create the laws, and I'll exploit them.
Oh, well. Anyway, so what do we cover today?
Oh.
Vaccines?
I'm looking at the wrong clock. It says 10 of over here.
Oh, well. All
right.
It says
11 after over there.
Well, it's been a nice show today. Thank everybody for listening in. And this is It's Your Gavel with Mitch Mallett and Terry Wonder. And we'll be back on the air on Thursday. And, of course, you don't want to miss the Morning Edge. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with
Harry and Augie
and Henry Raines. And we appreciate your listening in, and we'll see you on Thursday.
All right. And I need some notice there. Let's play the closing theme,
right.
And we'll get out of here.
Get your kids vaccinated.
Yeah, get your
build
kids.
Up that herd immunity, 92%.
And get your grandkids vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, insist upon it. And, you know, don't believe everything that a former Playboy bunny and actress tells you about vaccines. She might be getting her information from the wrong physician. So do vaccinate your children. Be your brother's keeper. And, you know, respect your neighbor.
I will.